opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat 40. I'm with Anoush Sheriott, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bofancy.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And thank you again for joining me on the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding. Every week I try, and usually succeed, in bringing you some of the most interesting people in the Ville. Once again, this week's Rusty Satellite Show features two really interesting folks. I'm very anxious and excited about introducing them to you. In the second part of the show, I have a representative of Channa Newman. Channa Newman from the Louisville Water Company. She's a supervisor of education over there, and I get a chance to talk about my theory that the bottled water industry is the biggest farce laid on the American public of all time by business. So anyway, you'll want to stay tuned for that, hear about my opinions on water, and hear from Channa about what's going on at the water company, including, well, I'll talk about that just a moment, but the water company was in the news this week, and it came out after I talked to Channa, so we won't be talking about the news story involving the water company, but I'll mention that in the middle of the show. And first up, I'm going to have Kevin Moore, and if that name sounds familiar to you, maybe you're a music fan, because Kevin Moore is the given name of Keb Mo, the sort of blues Americana musician. He's got a song on the Tin Cup soundtrack. He's one of my favorites, but he has nothing to do with Kevin Moore, the new managing director of Actors Theater. And I was very happy to get to meet Kevin on his second, I think it was his second week on the job. He's a delightful guy, very excited about being in his dream job of being in charge over there along with Les Waters at Actors Theater of Louisville. And the new season is coming right up. And we'll be talking about the first play in that. They have an opening. They have a party this week on Thursday night, in fact, that will give you a chance to go if you want to learn about what's going on at Actors Theater this year and meet Kevin. You're welcome to do so on Thursday night at Act. So that's what we got coming up. I've got plenty of stuff to talk about, and from everything from movies, a very active schedule I've had. I've done a lot of eating out as part of my EatDrinkTalk.net responsibilities. I'm looking forward to sharing with you some interesting information about eating out, and also there's news in the media, and of course the Democratic National Convention is going on, where Hillary Clinton is getting a lot of publicity this week, as Donald Trump did last week in terms of the presidential race, and certainly I have an opinion on that, of course. But first up, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how we get this show together, and one of the reasons we're able to do this is the help of some generous sponsors. I want to thank my friends at Passport Health Plan for being a longtime sponsor of the show, and my friends at iCare Institute. And iCare Institute at 589-1500. Those folks are leaders in LASIK. They call themselves. Any issues you have with cataracts, glaucoma, LASIK, diabetes in the eye, macular degeneration, routine eye care, family eye care, they have a great referral program. You can get $100 if somebody if you refer somebody over there, and they do a LASIK program. So there's a lot of great stuff over at iCare Institute. They're great people right down there on Story Avenue. The people behind iCare Institute are behind there's a park that's being installed right across the street there on Story. So really great folks. Encourage you, if you have an eye issue of any sort or just need some routine eye care and coverage, give them a call at iCare Institute, 502-589-1500. All right, we've got a lot to get to in this show, and I appreciate you downloading the show and staying with us. Tell your friends about the Rusty Satellite Show. It's a lot of fun, and it's the most local, the greatest way to hear about things going on in my hometown, Louisville, Kentucky. So, Keb Mo, I'm going to forever call him that. But Kevin Moore is, he didn't even have things on the wall in his office up there at Actors Theater. It's, but he is very excited. Apparently, it was a a real intensive search to find the right guy to replace Jennifer Bealstein, who was on the show, I think, last year, and talked about her job as managing director of the Actors Theater, and along with Les Waters, who was also on the show at one point. Kevin has some big shoes to fill. It's a big job being in charge of everything that goes on, especially financially, with ACTS. It's a major organization. We're very lucky to have such a great great Actors Theater in our city. So I always like to give coverage to it. I like to go to the plays over there. The first one coming up in August is called The 39 Steps. And I think we mentioned that in the interview a little bit, but it's described in their literature as a big old fast-paced slapstick comedy, but also a thriller with a good amount of heart. I am looking forward to going to see that one certainly in August. So it'll be the first one in which Kevin Moore is managing director for Actors Theater. He's got a lot on his plate, and he's going to tell you about some of that in our interview right now.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Today I'm back at Actors Theater. It's almost that time of year, and we have the new man in charge, Kevin Moore. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And welcome to Louisville.
Ah, thanks.
You know, we got this weather just for you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's hot here right now.
Yeah,
but it's hot everywhere, so it's all right.
Yeah, it is. So what attracted you to this position in Louisville?
You know, I'm coming from, my last employer was Theater Communications Group, and we're sort of the service organization for nonprofit theater around the country. It's a membership organization. Actors Theater is a member, and we have about 500 member theaters around the country. And honestly, the theater, I mean, Actors Theater is, a lot of people don't realize this, but it is one of the most prestigious theaters in America. It's, you know, constantly, I mean, thousands and thousands of people have come through here, either worked here, or the professional training company that we have, what used to be known as the Apprentice Company, but now we've changed the name to the Professional Training Company, has literally seeded the field with thousands of people. And the Humana Festival, of course, is our new play festival. It's 40 years old. That's unheard of. It's the premier new play festival in America. And you know, the theater itself has such a reputation in this country that it was a very attractive offer. I'm honored to be here more than anything. I mean, Les Waters, our artistic director, is known worldwide, actually. He's a consummate artist, and he's one of the reasons I really wanted to work here, too.
Okay, well, I was going to ask you about him. He's been on this show. He's quite a character.
He is. He's great.
Got a unique look.
Yeah.
And so I guess that was a big part of coming here. I guess the interviews included a lot of talk with and about Les.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, this partnership that we have, that Les and I have, for any theater, you know, the managing and artistic directors are partners usually, and we both report to the board and, you know, sort of run the theater together. And
so you got to get along with Les.
It's a marriage, basically. It's an arranged marriage. But I just felt, you know, I've known Les's work for a long time. He's really a well-known director around the country, and I'd seen several of his productions both here in Louisville and also in New York and other places, and I admire him and I admire his work, and he had the same goals for the theater that interested me, and lucky. I'm a lucky guy.
Well, there you go. Let's talk about you know, people are just, like, I guess, winding up the summer and getting ready for the fall. And the fall season here at Actors
I guess you just got here, so you don't have a lot to do with the selections, but maybe you do.
No, not yet. I mean, quite honestly, that most of the play selections fall under Les's domain, and I certainly help out. You know, we certainly, it'll be somewhat of a team effort, but he's really in charge of the artistic part that goes on the stage, and I'm more of the guy behind the scenes, you know, that helps to make sure we have the resources to do all the plays that we need. But yeah, we're gearing up. I mean, this is probably the last sort of, and I'm using in quotes, quiet week, you know, before everybody shows up and we start.
Well, you got this big party Thursday night, right?
Yeah, right.
And what's going
to
happen there?
Well, that day is officially the day that single tickets go on sale to the public for the season. And we're inviting people to come down to the theater, hear about the season a little bit. I'd love to meet as many people as I can that day. You know, a big part of that party is really so I can get to know some of our audience members. And it's really just sort of the official kickoff, honestly, to the season. I mean, it's here. It's here.
So you get to meet these people. For people out there that don't know, tell me a little bit about what a managing director's responsibilities are.
So I always simplify it by saying that the artistic director is really in charge of what goes on the stage, and the managing director is responsible for what happens, you know, with all of the support that has to happen. You know, for us to be able to perform these shows during the season, it literally takes hundreds of people, and that's not just people working on the show itself, but the entire administrative staff that does all the marketing and the PR and the fundraising. And you know, we have a pretty big staff, and so we have to have human resources and a finance director, and so I'm really in charge of all of that kind of that side of things. So all of the things that I just mentioned really fall under my domain, making sure we're acting financially responsible to make sure that the like I said before, that we have the resources available. These shows are expensive to produce. They're really expensive because every single person that works on these shows are are paid. It's crazy that I have to say that, but some people don't understand that. These are all paid. Everybody that works on these shows does it for a living. This is not a hobby for anybody. This is a career. And they come from all over the country to do this, to work here. And so that takes a lot of resources, a lot of time, and a lot of money. And that part's my job.
You've got to raise the money and help spend the money. Well, let me ask you just a little bit. You know, we know you came from your most recent position in New York, but tell me a little bit more about your background, where you grew up, went to school, that kind of thing.
I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, in a suburb outside of Atlanta. And I was there till, you know, I went to college, and I went to college in at a small liberal arts school in South Carolina called Furman University in Greenville, South Carolina.
Furman.
Go Paladins.
Home of the Paladins.
Yes.
I was just going to say that.
Yes, sir. Very proud Paladin here. And then I went off. I moved back to my first job, actually, was with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. So I started off in the arts, and I've only ever worked in the arts. I've never worked in any other field. And so I worked for the symphony for a while. I'd always been, my goal, long-time goal, had been to work for producing theater, like actors. And but I didn't have that opportunity for a little while in my career. I worked for the symphony. I actually lived in Cincinnati for a short period of time and worked for a performing arts center there. Lived in Evansville, Indiana, for a year, where I worked in New Harmony.
What an experience that must have been.
That was an interesting experience. And then I ended up in Arizona. I was hired by Arizona Theater Company, and that was my first foray into producing theater, and that was probably, good grief, 17, 18 years ago. And knew that that's where I wanted to stay, was the theater world. I'm really, you know, I'm a theater aficionado, and I do it in my spare time, which is crazy, but I see as much theater as I can. So.
Well, it seems like, I mean, all of your job is with theater, but, but it seems like the work is kind of like other businesses, you know, finding people, raising money, spending money. You must not have been an arts major at Furman. I don't know.
I was an English major.
English?
Yeah, there so what are you going to do with that, right?
Don't go into journalism. That's one thing. You could probably figure out a way to produce podcasts, but Other than that, yeah. So, English major and went on to all those jobs.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I really didn't have a, at the time, way back then, I didn't know quite what I wanted to do at all. And this is before, you know, this is before, now there is really a plethora of arts administration programs around the country and, and universities and colleges. But this is before any of that. And I was just lucky enough to land a job in the arts, frankly. And I just stayed with it, you know.
There you go.
I never did get a master's degree. A lot of my colleagues have master's degrees or even doctorates, but I didn't. And I was just fortunate enough to be able to sort of climb that arts
well,
ladder.
But I'm sure there were a lot of people interested in this position. How did you get the feel it was a very competitive thing to get this job?
I would think so. I mean, you know, I didn't interact with any of my fellow interviewees, but I, you know, like I said before, it's a coveted position. This theater is one of the most prestigious theaters in America, and I'm sure there was a line. And I'm so grateful and thankful and humbled by the opportunity. I, you know, I'm only the third managing director to actually work here.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, Sandy Spear was here for many, many years. Yeah. And Jennifer Bilstein was here.
And Jennifer's on the show. Well, we got to wrap it up, but I'm gonna like to close and let you sell me on why I should come to one of these productions this fall.
Yeah, I'll tell you. It's my belief that theater actually is one of the only opportunities we have to step outside of ourselves. And whether that's entertainment or whether that's learning something or whether that's walking in somebody else's shoes for 2 hours, you know, I believe in the power of theater to change the world. And so I hope everybody will come in and be changed a little bit or laugh or cry or feel all those emotions that make us human. So come on down.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
Flat, broken, busted. It just don't seem fair. The man in heaven don't hear my prayer.
All right, we're back with the Rusty Satellite Show. I thought I'd give you a little taste of Keb Moe in honor of our guest. Anyway, that's the song Crapped Out Again I heard first on the Tin Cup soundtrack, which came out, I guess, many, many years ago. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, and that's where I discovered Keb Moe, and subsequently got to know the musician and his music, and I happens to have the same share the same name as our distinguished guest, Kevin Moore, the new managing director at Actors Theater. They've got a big event Thursday night. It's sort of the opening of season ticket sales there. And if you get a chance to go out there, that's great. But Thursday night is a big, big night in Louisville. I tell you, I am going. I tell you what I'm going to do, and you can join me at any of these things. But on Thursday night, the Fraser Museum is holding a hip history event with music and you know, Andy Trinan, who's been on the show, is doing some great work over there at the Fraser Museum, and invited me to this thing on Thursday night. So that's what I'm doing. And if I weren't doing that, I think I'd be going over to Copper and Kings. Copper and Kings on its 35th anniversary is showing, talk about favorite movies. It's, if you can believe it, the 35th anniversary of the movie Stripes with Bill Murray. Now, if you were, now I've asked a couple of people about this, and a lot of them, I guess, don't realize the history of that film and how it was the first like 20-30 minutes of the show are filmed in downtown Louisville. There's a scene right in front of the Sealback that is one of my favorites, and they go under the bridges, and that's all seen in the setup to the guys going into the Army when Bill Murray and his partner go into the Army. And it's a hilarious movie. I can't believe it's been 35 years, but if you get a chance to watch it either at this screening associated with the Flyover Film Festival on Thursday night, or just you know, I'm sure you can find it on Netflix or whatever, take a look. You'll see a lot of familiar things in Louisville, a lot of things that have changed in the 35 years since that movie was made. Much of the rest of the movie was filmed down in Fort Knox. So a very Kentucky-ish film, and it's a great thing for the Flyover Film Festival. I do want to talk about that for a minute. The Flyover Film Festival has gone on this week. I went on Sunday night to the premiere of a of a great film. It's called The Seer, the portrait of Wendell Berry. And as I wrote on LouisvilleKY.com this week, I'm sort of embarrassed that I have gotten to this ripe old age and not read a book by Wendell Berry. He is a true treasure. I certainly got a lot of ideas about who he is and what he does from the film that was produced by a woman named Laura Dunn. There was a Q&A afterwards led by C.D. Kaplan, another former Rusty Satellite guest. And on the stage were Laura, Mary Berry, who is a daughter of Wendell Berry, and sort of a couple of other big names. It was a very interesting panel after the movie. Nick Offerman, who is an actor. You know him from Parks and Recreation, but he's very active in the green economy and was a backer of this film. I got to meet him afterwards. I'm trying to talk him into coming on the Rusty Satellite Show. And also Owsley Brown III is a part of the group that made this film possible. So it's very interesting discussion. We went over to we also went to an after party over at 21C, a wonderful place. I encourage you, if you ever get a chance to go over there. I can't believe Paula had not been in there, so we got a chance to walk around and look at some of the art and some of the special things that are over there at the 21C hotel. I am trying to get Alice Stites, who is the curator of the art over there, on this show, and that will probably happen in the next few weeks. We shall see. So that was a lot going on with the Flyover Film Festival. If you want to see that Wendell Berry film, which is really great, it's beautiful in its imagery and its sounds, it is showing all week at Speed Cinema, at the Speed Museum over there. I think now through Sunday, you can go over there and catch that film, and it is absolutely something you'll remember. And it harkens to a time. Wendell Berry's big thing is about place and time, and he is a history of fighting the establishment of mechanized farming, I guess. And has taken up a lot of interesting environmental causes, such as trying to stop mountaintop removal strip mining. And he is a real backer of natural farming and food. So, again, I can't recommend that movie enough as something to do if you get a chance anytime this week at the Speed Cinema. Flyover Film Festival going on. The Louisville Film Society produces that. It's wonderful as well. So I have had a busy week. In addition to the event Sunday night, I took advantage of the tickets offered to me by Pat Durham, the new Building Industry Association of America chief executive, and went out to Homerama at Norton Commons on Tuesday night. Wonderful house. They have 24 houses. It's really tough to go see them all. I spent about an hour and a half out there, and it was excellent presentation of housing. I mean, Norton Commons, you know, a lot of people, there are some people who don't get into that sort of, I guess, housing. They're really nice big houses. I think the least expensive was like $560,000. They have a lot of square footage on the inside and outside. The houses are really close together. And, you know, you might have a patio that faces the side of your neighbor's house. But there's some truly spectacular architecture and stuff out there. And if you like the whole idea of Norton Commons, I do. I'd love to live out there. They have everything self-contained in there, so that you can. They've got a lot of retail businesses there. On our Eat, Drink, Talk podcast, we just talked about the new 502 Bar and Bistro that opened up in Norton Commons. So there's a lot of businesses there. It's a really exciting place. A lot of people walk around. You know, you see a lot of people walk in there, and a lot of residents. It's growing, and they've got plenty of room to grow even more. So that's what's going on out at Homerama. So anyway, I'm trying to get to the news. I tell you, there's so much going on for me to talk about. I haven't gotten to some of the big stories in the news. In local media, I think this is very interesting. We may have mentioned last week that the that Aaron Yarmuth, who was on this show, purchased the Voice Tribune. A very surprising development. And the Voice Tribune is going to consider, and the former Leo, I guess, publisher, Laura Snyder, who was on this show a few months back, she is taking over the Voice Tribune, which I think will be very interesting. I think it will add to the quality. To be honest with you, the people running the Voice Tribune in the past have not been had great reputations as journalists. The Voice Tribune is not one that is going to line up to get a bunch of awards at the Society of Professional Journalism Awards. That just hasn't happened in the past. It's mainly been a magazine about pictures of people at at parties. But I think you'll see a lot more serious journalism out of the Voice Tribune, and how it pairs with Leo Weekly will be a very neat development in local journalism circles. I'm anxious to see if they bring on some other staff. That'll be interesting. Okay, I had a discussion this week with Steve Coombs. We're still talking about media, and Steve wrote a piece about soft openings at restaurants and the fact that the world of journalism, as it relates to covering food service and restaurant openings, has changed dramatically. There was a day when restaurants got reviewed this way: an employee of the newspaper, say the Courier-Journal, would make it 2 to 3 trips to a new restaurant, try different things on the menu, bring different guests, and the newspaper would pay for those trips, and then the reviewer would write a review, a very balanced review. It could be positive, it could be negative. The reviewer had the, I guess, freedom to write whatever they wanted, whatever their observations were about the restaurant. Well, Steve's point was that nowadays we've had such a spate of openings of restaurants. We've gone to a lot of soft openings. And the whole idea is now that because you call it a soft opening and you invite people in and you feed them for free, and there's an expectation that you won't write anything bad about your experience, because the idea is that you're getting, they're practicing. You're a guinea pig. They're practicing on you. If something bad happens, like you have a long wait, like I went to the soft opening at Set down there on 4th Street for lunch. And, I think it's going to be a very successful restaurant. I went back there the other day and had a fish sandwich. It was really good. But, you know, the day I went on the soft opening, I had like an hour wait for my food. And, I didn't write about that. I didn't want to have someone think that was going to be the normal experience for someone coming in for lunch. It was really crowded. They had just opened. There's a lot of new staff learning how to do their job, and so it wouldn't be fair to me for me to say, hey, the there's a long wait for your food here at Set. It's not true. It was an exceptional incident. But anyway, Steve's point in the piece was that true reviews don't happen much, and true journalism doesn't happen much when it comes to covering food. And I think that's true. Steve made a comparison to the world of sports, which I think we're going to talk about on tomorrow's Eat Drink Talk show, because I've always said that the difference in the worlds of sports and say politics, or what I would call real journalism, is vast. and having done both, I know that in the world of sports, you know, if you cover a game, you're going to get fed. Back in the 80s, when I was working for Host Communications in Lexington, I did the University of Kentucky game programs, and every week we were treated to a fine lunch every week. So we could, the price of that was listening to a boring coach, Jerry Claiborne, drone on about the wide tackle six and his mediocre football team that they put out then. But you weren't expected, there wasn't I guess in the world of sports, that there was back then an expectations. You wouldn't write anything too negative about things. I think that world has changed too, because you see sports reporters breaking news and all that, but they are still sort of buddies with the people they cover, and they get the free meals and all that. And whereas, there's nothing like that in what I would call coverage of real news. And everybody knows this, but and I'm repeating it here, but maybe you have a take on that. And, if you're covering the mayor, you're not going to get any free meals. There's not going to be any incentive for you to write something nice about the mayor because you show up to cover a press conference. That just doesn't happen. And that's just a difference between the two worlds when it comes to media. And I'm not sure everybody in the public eye knows about that, but anyway, that's what happens. So I guess I'll talk just a minute about the biggest event going on this week, and that is the Democrat National Convention. The Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, where Hillary Clinton she is the first woman nominated as a major party's candidate for president, and I sure hope she wins. I was having a discussion with some people the other day, and it's like, you know, to be polite, you don't want to have these conversations in public about politics. I take the opposite extreme, and I say it's something we should do. We should be discussing this vast difference between the two political candidates for president. I very strongly feel that Donald Trump would be a bad thing for our country and its standing in the world. And I'm happy to talk about that with anybody that I come across. I tried to find a Trump supporter to be on this show and failed to find anyone that I guess I wanted to have on this show. But I will be hopefully having some guests related to politics in the I'm not afraid or you know anything. If someone is a Trump supporter and they'll come on wants to come on this show and debate the merits of Donald Trump with me, I'm willing to do so. But there's so much information going on. You know, certainly this week the speakers, I think you could say the speakers and the entertainers at the Democratic National Convention are far, far better than those at the Republican convention. And I'm seeing all these stats, and this is the thing that worries me. The biggest statistic I am seeing is that you know, with Hillary, she's really failing on white men, and she's really failing on uneducated white men. Those are really Trump's biggest, one of Trump's biggest demographics of support, and it worries me. You know, I'll tell you, I think people that support Trump are kind of dumb. And you can challenge me on that. I'd love to hear your point of view, but it's a serious, serious situation in our country. I'm going to a wedding in Michigan with Paula in a few weeks, and she's like, you're not going to start talking politics, are you? And I said, well, you know, only if it comes up, because I'm certainly not going to be silent when the topic is discussed. So anyway, we'll see. Politics is going to be a big issue. It's going to dominate the news in the fall, so I'm anxious to see that. I'm recording this on Wednesday, just to change the subject real quickly, talking about politics and big news stories. The U of L Board of Trustees is supposedly meeting on Wednesday. You'll be hearing this after it comes out, so really can't say anything, but Dr. Ramsey is scheduled to offer his resignation to this new board. And I'm anxious to see what sort of new angle he comes up with to stay on there. He's sort of like just hanging on. He's been hanging on for a long time, and I think it's time for him to go. Be honest with you, there's so much damage that's been done to the university's reputation as a result of Ramsey's presidency in the last year or so. It's time for him to go. It really is. So anyway, that's all the news I got to report. Now I will tell you that my next guest is. Is a employee of the Louisville Water Company. The story I was going to tell you about just came out in the Courier Journal today, is that the water company wants to put some buildings over there on its nice campus over there on Frankfort Avenue at Stills. And I'm not sure that there was anything sneaky about it, but when it came out that was happening, some of the neighbors got upset. They want to have meetings and hearings and all that. So it's going to be a story that will be in the news about the water company and its attempts to build buildings that they need to have somewhere on that nice green space over there on Frankfort Avenue. So we'll see how that comes out. Chana Newman was charming. I loved her. She listened to me talk about my opinion on bottled water, which is that I just shake my head. I talk about in this interview about my girlfriend buying cases and cases of bottled water when basically, you know, it's free. The quality of it out of the faucet is just as good as what's in the bottled water, in my opinion. And still, people buy cases and cases of bottled water. If you ever go to a place like Costco, they have stacks of it, and people just buy it up. And I don't know why. I really don't. But anyway, I talk about that with Chana, and I got a chance to reminisce with an old friend at the water company, Barb Crow, who remembers my 1997 editorial about bottled water from Business First. And just had a good time over there. I loved going over there. The water company, of course, is owned by the city, owned by Metro Government, and pretty much is has been run in my lifetime without any corruption to speak of. So that's saying something, I guess. So I hope you enjoy my conversation with Chana. It's coming right up, and then I'll be back to close the show right after that.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Today I'm at the historic water company. I remember when this building was built, if you can believe that, back in, the 90s,
It was in the 90s, yes.
All right, I'm with Channa Newman, who is what?
The Supervisor of Education for the water company.
For the water company.
Yes, yes.
Well, it's a very cool building, and I've always had a thing about water and bottled water. This is my thing. You know, in 1997, I wrote a piece in Business First about how the whole bottled water industry was a farce. It was a trick played on businessmen on people to get them to buy something they could get for free. So, do you agree with that?
Well, I mean, I think we have a pretty good product. So, really, all you need is a container. If you just take your glass, your bottle, whatever it is, straight to the tap, you can get a great quality product, and you don't have to go to the store. You don't have to spend a lot of money to do it.
Right. And you gave me an interesting number about the bottled, the tap. How much does it cost?
Well, you can fill up your cup or your, let's say, an 8-ounce cup 66 times for a penny.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you can get a deal on bottled water for a dollar a bottle, right?
Right. Exactly. It certainly saves you some money, for sure.
Okay. So what do people say, though? You know, we'll move on to another topic in a second. But what do people say, though, to justify? People just have this impression that tap water is not as high in quality, right?
I mean, I think some people probably feel that way, but we pride ourselves here that we have a really good quality product. I mean, we are testing that water 200 times a day over in the water quality laboratory. So we are throughout the whole process making sure that that water is safe. Public health is a big deal for us, and we want to make sure we give you the best quality water that you can get.
There you go. Well, we have quality water, and do they do studies that compare do you guys at Little Water Company do studies that compare what the product you get in bottled water to what you do?
I don't know that we do any specific case studies or anything like that. I do know that we certainly talk about the fact that, you know, one of the biggest differences between our water and bottled water is the cost. I mean, it is a huge deal.
Right.
I go to the grocery store and I see people carrying cases and cases of bottled water out of the store, and I'm thinking, wow, all you need is a container. Walk 5 steps to your sink and you can have a good product.
It's crazy. I'll tell you, at my house or at my girlfriend's house, there's a stack of 4 cases up to your hip of bottled water, and I keep telling her that's dumb.
Well, you know, we've also been named the best tasting water several times, too.
Right, you got plenty of awards.
Right, it's a great, not only is it less expensive, it really tastes good. I mean, if you go other places, you can certainly tell a difference. I know when I travel, a lot of times I'll find certainly a different taste to the water than what I'm used to.
Okay.
We also get people that tell us their kids go off to college, you know, grew up in Louisville, always drank the water, go off to college, and they come home and they're like, wow, I really miss that water. Can you give me like 6 jugs to take back to school with me? So definitely are known for our taste as
okay,
well.
Okay, so you've got this marketing campaign with Louisville Pure Tap,
right.
And you can't buy that in the stores.
No, cannot, cannot.
Where can you get that?
Directly out of your faucet. We actually named our water several years back. We thought it was water so good we gave it a name, Louisville Pure Tap. And we take that show on the road a lot, if you will.
I've been to a lot of events where you have a little booth set up and
we
can drink the water.
We have our Louisville Pure Tap to go, is what we call that. And there are these mobile units we take out to large outdoor festivals, like the Waterfront Wednesday concerts, that sort of thing.
Right.
So you can bring your own container and you can fill up with ice cold water the whole time you're in an event. So it's a great thing that we're doing, I hope.
Yeah, because it's really hot right now.
Yes.
It's hot.
Gosh. Very, very hot outside. Stay hydrated. It's really important. Getting dehydrated can do a lot to your body. I mean, you really need to stay hydrated.
Well, I guess in your job, which is education, you need to tell people how important it is to stay hydrated.
Yes, yes. I mean, we, in addition to doing our Pure Tap to Go, we also give out information a lot of times to families, to participants when we're out at events, reminding them of some of the health benefits of staying hydrated. I mean, your body is 75-80% water, so you need to be putting that back in all the time. You know, your cells, your blood, everything is made of water, so keeping it hydrated is really, really important, especially when it's this hot outside.
I know. I'm looking around in this boardroom. I don't see any water.
Yeah, we need to get some in here.
There you go. There you go. But, Chana, tell me a little bit about you. You've got this great job here at the water company, and you're from Louisville. And how'd you end up here?
Well, I got connected here, and we started doing some health types of education. We do a lot of stuff with schools. So we spend a lot of time out in the schools doing programming around health and science and all that great stuff, and we teach water in everything we do. So water is an awesome tool to teach with. You can teach just about any subject on a water platform. So we spend a lot of time out in schools. We also invite school groups and community groups to come down to the Water Tower, where we have our museum, and we do some
there's
fun
a museum.
Things there.
What's in a water museum?
Well, the Waterworks Museum at the Water Tower is actually all kinds of stuff about the history and the innovation of what we've done at the water company. How, if you think about it, Louisville Water and the city of Louisville kind of have grown up together. We've been around since 1860 making water.
Well, the city still owns the water company, right?
Yes, they are our only stockholder. Yes.
Okay. All right.
But we like to think the whole city owns us, of course. We want people to, everybody to love the water and take part in it.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to run out, are we? I mean, is there like an endless supply?
Well, you know, the Ohio River is our source. So if you were to stand on the banks of the Ohio River and watch that water flow past you for 24 hours, there's about 75 billion gallons of water in the Ohio River. And each day we take out roughly about 110 to 120 million gallons of water. So really, if you think about it in the sense of a percentage, it's a very, very small amount of water. Mm-hmm. We like to think we have a pretty abundant source in the Ohio River.
Okay. But I shouldn't, like, go down there and jump in and start drinking the water out of the
Probably river. Not. No, it takes us a few days to change that water from river water to tap water. Yeah, it's a two-day process. Okay. A few things happen to it before it gets to you.
And where is that thing? I know the big place on Frankfort Avenue, right, is your big purifying plant?
Right. Well, water starts at Zorn, where the water tower is at the pumping station. So it comes from there. It goes up to the reservoir.
Right.
And from the reservoir, it goes over to Frankfort Avenue to the treatment plant. So that's where the filters are at the treatment plant on Frankfort.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. Now, in terms of what you do with the water company, mm-hmm. you talk at schools, you give out free water,
mm-hmm.
and that's a pretty easy job, right?
I mean, it's a good job. I don't know about easy. We're trying to get information out to not only to school groups and to children, but of course to their parents and to the adults who are our customers as well, just to let them know about the process of making water. And it doesn't happen like magic. You know, I get a lot of times I'm in a classroom and I'll have a student tell me that I'll ask them, where does the water come from? And they'll say out of the faucet, and they think it just happens like magic. We stand out there and wave a big wand and suddenly there's water coming from the faucet. But letting everybody know that there is a lot involved in that process of from river to faucet, if you will, and making sure that people understand that there's a lot of steps along the way that make that happen. It doesn't just happen overnight.
What do you think are the percentage? Like I said, like I opened with, I think this is the big farce put on by business about the quality of water. But when you go out and talk to people, what do they say about bottled water? I mean, it because, like, you know, the bottles aren't good for the environment and all that. How do people justify buying bottled water all the time?
That's a good question. I think a lot of people buy bottled water for convenience. They think it's more convenient, which doesn't make any sense to me, because to me, walking, like I said, five steps to your sink makes more sense. But I think a lot of people take those bottles when they go places and they just are just so used to grabbing that. I mean, we've, it's kind of been ingrained in us to grab a bottle of water and head out the door. So we're hopeful that by doing these Pure Tap to-goes and by making refillable bottles available to people.
Yeah, because you all give a lot of those.
We do. We have the Louisville Pure Tap refillable 20-ounce bottles, and they're BPA-free plastic, which is great. That you can put them in a dishwasher on the top shelf. You know, if you use these bottles and you keep these convenient at your disposal, all you have to do is, you could even fill it up with water and put it in the refrigerator if you want, really, really cold water before you head out the door. So we're trying to make it convenient.
Just that lazy, that the idea of filling it up and putting it in the fridge is harder than taking that case from Kroger and throwing that whole case of bottles in your fridge.
Yeah, maybe so.
So your house, I guess. Nobody gets bottled water.
It is
right?
A bottled water free zone. Actually, my extended family come over and they're like, oh well, never mind. I guess we won't find any bottled water here. You know, so I very much stick to that at home.
At that point, do you start your speech?
I do, and I usually have a few of those little Pure Tap bottles on hand to hand out to my family and friends when they come over to visit. Because I do. I believe it's an awesome product. I mean, here in Louisville, I just don't think we have any reason to purchase a bottle of water. You know, we have a great product, and I think sharing that message, we hear it over and over again. Most people, I think we have a really good product and think it tastes really good and they like it.
Okay. And the rest of them are loading their carts up in case it's a bottled water, I guess. But now I do remember a news story a few years ago about Lexington, and there was this big attempt that the Louisville Water Company was involved in to build this pipeline, right? Mm-hmm. What happened to that? Because I didn't follow through.
Well, I don't exactly know, but I do know that we do a lot of regionalization efforts. Okay. So,
because there's a lot of cities around Kentucky that aren't right next to the Ohio River.
That's true.
And where do they get their water?
Different rivers, different aquifers, different, you know, different places, wells, that sort of thing. But Louisville Water doesn't just service Jefferson County. We also service Bullitt and Oldham and parts of other counties as well. And we're constantly looking for ways to regionalize and be able to share our product with, you know, counties that surround us, and how can we be of service to those counties and things like that. So that there is a whole group of people here that work on that sort of thing.
Okay. And is there any issues? It seems like I'm just grasping for things I remember from the news. Aging infrastructure with water, and it seems like in addition to what MSD is doing, that, you know, the water company's got some issues with aging pipes, right?
It's true. I mean, we do have a main rehabilitation program where we are out replacing and rehabilitating our water mains as needed. There is a very active program to make that so many miles of that happen every year. And we also use the latest technology when we can to go in and test those pipes. Some really cool cutting-edge technology that actually sends things in through the pipes while they're in service to detect leaks and potential breaks and things like that. So we can go in and kind of catch some of those things before they actually happen.
Well, there you go. Okay. Well, we got a little education on water from the education supervisor, director, whatever you are, Chana.
Thank
you for telling me about the water company and encouraging us all to not use bottled water, right?
Yeah, get back to the tap.
And there you go. That's another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. Can you believe it? 160 consecutive weeks of Rusty Satellite Shows. I really enjoy doing this broadcast for you, this podcast, and love introducing you to people like Chana Newman, who is doing great work at the water company, and it's going to be great to see how Kevin Moore does with his new job, his dream job at the Actors Theater of Louisville. That's all coming up. I get a chance to talk about things that are important to me on this show. I love doing that. And one of the things I like to do is eat and drink. And that, I just want to remind you that if you like this podcast, you'll love my podcast with Steve Coombs that comes out every Friday called Eat, Drink, Talk. You can find it at eatdrinktalk.net or on this Louisville.am network. How about that? It's becoming a big thing. And I will have as my guest tomorrow the folks from John Riley and Katie DeFabio from to Fabio's Casaparella on Frankfort Avenue. It's a great spot. I got to go in and have some nice dessert on Tuesday afternoon, and you'll hear about that on the Eat, Drink, Talk podcast. So look forward to having you join me there. And certainly, if you want to get in touch with me, you know how to do so. Look forward to hearing from you, and I'll be back next week with yet another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. A quick thank you before I go to my sponsors, Passport Health Plan and the Eye Care Institute, and all the people that helped me put the show together. I really appreciate it, and we'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.